The 1-900 Wrestling Podcast is brought to you, as always, by patreon.com/1900Wrestling. Not only do you support this show and kick into our Wrestle Fund, this is where we buy tickets to go to wrestling events and talk to them with you. You can also join our patron-only Discord. This is the best place to watch live wrestling. No Reddit, no Facebook groups where it's just a bunch of yelling, screaming people. Watch it with people that you know and you like. It's a fun time, I guarantee it. Go ahead and check it out. Patreon.com/1900Wrestling. But enough of talking about how we support the show. What do you say we just do the damn thing?
I want you to call me for all of wrestling's latest news and views. I've been involved in wrestling for 35 years, and nobody knows wrestling like me. Remember the number
1-900 Wrestling.
Stupid idiots.
Oh, yes. We are back. 1 week off. And now we're back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the 1-900 Wrestling Program. My name is Justin Robert Young. Normally joining me, as he has for almost every episode of 1-900 Wrestling, is Willie Dills. But he is traveling, so we have a surprise appearance by Okadrian. How you doing, buddy?
I'm alive and well, and I was going to like have pomp and circumstance, maybe like a parade or some fireworks, some noise to make, but I have nothing except the sound of my voice, and I hope that's good enough.
Well, I feel like everybody will fall in love no matter what. For those who are unfamiliar with your work on Twitch, explain the Okadrian of it all, where people can find you, what you normally do.
Sure. I can be found at twitch.tv/Okadrian, OKAYDRIAN. It's an amalgamation of okay and Adrian. I'm just okay. Boom. It's my reaction to pretty much anything, you know? Someone's like, ah, man, I'm sorry, they're out of lettuce at Chipotle. Ah, it's okay, man. It's okay. It's life, yeah. Right? It goes on. But generally speaking, I stream 5 days a week, usually in the evening. I'll do two streams, one in the morning, one in the evening. But I do a lot of hosting now, mostly, for different companies. Did Versus Evil at PAX East. Do some stuff for Twitch in the past, for E3, PAXes, Comic-Con, so you can see me on stage talking to various personnel about things like video games, entertainment, or wrestling, hopefully.
Boom.
Is the big thing we want there. So that's it. That's skinny.
Dude, well, you have your own, is it a stream, podcast, both, a wrestling
program?
It's
more of a vidcast, I would say, right? Like, gotcha. I have a podcast version available, but I don't think it translates as well as it should. So I prefer, it's more vidcast, but it's called The Following Contest, and it's a wrestling vidcast to discuss things, mostly WWE, NJPW, and progress as it happens.
Awesome. Well, look, we are very happy to have you, and I'm happy to have somebody with me to talk about one of the biggest stories that, I can really remember. If you talk about seismic changes in wrestling, obviously WWE is the big dog, and they are about to get a lot bigger. Word from ESPN and The Hollywood Reporter that they have now made an agreement with Fox Broadcasting. Not Fox Sports 1. Not Fox Sports 2. Not the My Network regional netlets. This is Fox, like one of the four major broadcasting companies, to bring SmackDown, the blue brand, the house that AJ Styles built, will be on broadcast television in October of 2019. So we're about a year and change away from it happening. But the money on this is insane. It's three times what WWE got from USA for SmackDown. We are presuming this means that it will also be live, because I don't know why Fox would be interested if it does not remain live, which I think everybody will be happy with. It also speaks well for the brand split. But dig this. This also came in today when I was looking for more information on this. Rumors around this deal are that it will include a replay of SmackDown on FS1 on Saturdays and a full integration of WWE talent onto Fox programming, including the NFL pregame. So Fox Sports is going all in with WWE programming. You know, whatever anybody thinks about Vince McMahon and the WWE and how it's booked, right? Which is normally what we spend our time talking about in the world of wrestling podcasts. This is a massive jump in eyeballs. This is a big deal. Yeah, this is huge. This is, to give you context, the last time that there was a weekly wrestling program on a broadcast television outlet, I didn't think it was that it had ever happened. Somebody hit me to this. On September 17th, 1949, Okadrian, Wrestling from Marigold ran until 1955. That is the last time that a broadcast network ran a serialized weekly wrestling program.
And if you think about it, right, this is the time period where people... When I talk to friends who haven't watched wrestling in a long time, mostly they talk about the days that came before them or the days that came before them in wrestling, in these syndicated broadcasts or ones that took place on TV like that.
Yeah.
The ones their parents used to watch. Maybe they'll know about a Don Morocco or the Hulk Hogan's in back of the day and things like that. And they'll reference this because they couldn't escape it. It wasn't a choice. Like, I have to voluntarily tune in to a USA in order to watch wrestling. I have to go onto a website address and watch a stream of wrestling. This is something that I can accidentally flip the channels and watch because I'm not watching Chris Lee, but
yeah.
I am watching the news, and just so happens that before or afterwards, wrestling is on. I don't feel like changing the channel. There's no Netflix to say, are you still there? I'm just going to keep watching it, and you garner interest. Even if you just get one person out of 100 to say, you know what, I might watch next week, that's still one person out of 100 on all those eyes on Fox. That's viewership is huge.
Well, and it seems like Fox is going to package all this as like, no, this is a big deal. You need to pay attention to the WWE. Wrestling is back. There are a few things that you can say, like WWE specifically can control. They can control the stars they make. They can control the storylines they write. They can control the production by which they make these people look big or not. What you can't control is where you're going to broadcast. And there is no doubt that one of the biggest booms, the first biggest boom in wrestling, was after you put Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage and Andre the Giant on Saturday night's main event. Like, that yes. was the moment where things got big. I'm not saying that this is the same as that, because broadcast television meant something different back then when there were fewer options. But it's gigantic. I mean, it's huge. And who knows where we're going to go between now and then.
What I'm most curious about is, what are they going to do with the time period they have right now, right? If you have a year and a half before it goes in television, what do you do to prepare your writers? What do you do to prepare the engagement that you're going to have, the marketing, the athletes that you're going to do? Are you going to do anything special as far as like a special tournament to garner the hype, to get more eyes on the programming? Or do you say, you know what, I think what we have going right now, our usual broadcasts and our usual programs, are good enough to garner interest? Or do you gimmick your way into it and say, you know what, we should really do something crazy to get more eyes onto it?
Well, and do you try to bring back old talent? Is this
right.
is this a time where now you want to bring back some people that people might have remembered from back in the day when they fell off watching in the 90s, and now the same person that used to watch wrestling, that knows, you know, the suck it catchphrase and knows, and that's the bottom line because Stone Cold said so, but now they don't watch it anymore. I'll bet you they're still watching NFL football, though.
Yep. And they're going to get that audience, too, which begs the question, too, if you have NFL football there with the talks of bringing back the XFL. I wonder if there is a certain kind of conversation going on between the two networks or the two companies now with, we'll give you coverage on NFL, but don't discuss XFL if you can or cannot. Is that going to be a big deal or big issue?
Well, you know, a part of this, and big shout out to Conrad Thompson, who does the Something to Wrestle podcast. When the XFL announcement first came out, his whole point was like, all right, look at when this is set to debut, and look at when WWE's television rights are coming up. They want to be able, although there's a, for, you know, stock price reasons, there are some tenuous tendrils of connection between the two companies, although everybody kind of knows that they're the same company,
yeah.
That they wanted a home for the XFL. If they are now in business with Fox, and they are spending a lot of money on it there, and Fox is you know, they're in a very transitional period. Because remember, this is the Fox that is the leftovers from what they sold to Disney. So this is Fox Broadcasting, Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports 2, Fox News. That's it. All the 20th Century Fox, all the regional nets, all that, that's gone. Disney has that now. So this is them trying to say, all right, let's repurpose, and possibly Fox Sports 1 would make the most sense as the home of the XFL going forward.
It'll be important to have all of these properties from WWE and the history they have with the WWE Network under the new Fox umbrella.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great partnership and it's a great marriage because it's like, look, you give us the time period, we'll make this happen. At the same time, you have access to so much past WWE history. I mean, they're already doing things on network to fill time at the table for three and all that stuff. But you have years and lineage, not only the wrestling itself, but the influence they have had with celebrities who have been at WrestleManias, with the influence they have of having athletes appear on Saturday Night Live of all places.
Yeah.
And this is borrowed properties you can have between both areas. And it's a smart move for WWE. It's a smart move for Fox. And I'm sure we'll have our few people who will be on social media saying, this is dumb. Why is wrestling back? Where's my football? This is in the way.
Yeah. But
at the same time, Fox is not dumb in a way. Because keep in mind, they just recently got rid of a few shows they dumped off to take the load off of what's appearing on Fox Network. And it wouldn't surprise me if they were doing that to make room for a thing like WWE and make room for that kind of time slot stuff.
Yeah, it certainly seems like they are. Their new vision is live, live, live. It's either reality shows or it's live something. Live music competition, live wrestling, live sports. This is what they want to do, is when you turn on Fox, something is happening right now, and that is away from the kind of more boutique comedy stuff that they like Brooklyn Nine-Nine that they let go to NBC.
But past SmackDowns too, you were saying? Or reruns?
Well, Fox Sports 1 will air a rerun of SmackDown, and
I wonder how Hulu feels about that.
I mean, who knows? I mean, here's the other thing, business-wise. And by the way, let me give a big shout-out to the WrestleNomics podcast. If you are not listening to that and you're in any way interested in the business of wrestling, they are great in terms of all the nerdy spreadsheets to beat the band business of pro wrestling with WWE and New Japan specifically. But they made the point that, like, hey, look, this is not only a gigantic play because, you know, SmackDown will now be somewhere else, but also, look at it as a living commercial for the network. You know, if now there's a bigger audience and they haven't seen wrestling for a while, and WWE's big promotion is watch the pay-per-views and watch the new pay-per-views and the old Raw, SmackDown, Nitro, Thunder, the old pay-per-views that your mom didn't let you buy when you were growing up in the 90s, like. Yeah. That's why I got back into wrestling. I was kind of out until the network because I literally just wanted to watch Halloween Havoc 1997. And now I had an opportunity to do it. And it has led to me backsliding into a full wrestling addiction and relapse. But I'm happy to be here.
People pay more money for worse things. I mean, $9.99 for an entire month access, even if you do it for 1 month, gets you. It's so simple to type in a wrestler's name and another wrestler's name and get a series of matches, if not the one you are specifically looking for. So when you talk to friends who haven't watched wrestling in a while, they remember, if they don't remember anything, they remember marquee matchups or moments that they want to relive. So the Fox fans that are watching football that say things like, and this is, for example, not giving like a typecast to everybody. If you say, for example, ah, man, you know what? I haven't watched wrestling in a long time. The last time that I watched wrestling, and this is my favorite phrase, is that opening. The last time that I watched wrestling was when, fill in the blank, when Ultimate Warrior had his head smashed in by Macho King with the scepter.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart. Well, guess what? You can watch that again. When Dean Malenko pulled his mask off and it turned out it was him and he whooped Chris Jericho's ass. That is the last time I watched wrestling. Even ECW, watching Rob Van Dam somersault into the crowd. That was, guess what? for $9.99, if you just want to watch those matches because you don't care about the new stuff, it's great. You just lock in and do it. And believe me, the marketing team right now is salivating.
Oh, man.
And all the promos they can do and the wrestlers they can bring back to highlight it, please.
Yeah. No, I'll tell you what. Rarely does wrestling business news excite me like this has. This is not normally the focus of this show, but I think this is when you look at the things that really create a boom period.
Yeah,
this is one of those things, and we have the talent. We have a very interesting shifting media space, which wrestling always takes advantage of. Because it is the one thing that is always... Again, the last time this happened was in 1949. 1949 was the last time that this happened. All right, we have another, more broadcast of it's kind of on the other side. Because this is kind of bad news. Oh. All In, the massively popular, already sold out, 10,000-seat arena. The show being put on by Cody Rhodes and the Young Bucks. Cody tweets this out today. Asking if they're upset that there are more tickets on the secondary market that they're charging, that more people are charging more money for. Cody says this, we're not worried at all. Nada. Only a few hundred tickets remain on the secondary market, less than average for an event of this size. It'll be full. Possibly a few more seats becoming available if we remove a quote-unquote camera hold, as we currently don't have production. So we are streaming this live on Twitch. Like you mentioned before, you do a program that is primarily viewed on Twitch.
Right.
Whether internet broadcasting of wrestling has revolutionized independent wrestling. The fact that there are so many platforms between High Spots and Powerbomb TV, and many that are free here on this very platform. Is it, Ring of Honor has their own subscription thing as well. So does New Japan.
Yep.
Is it a bummer that this thing might not be streamed?
It's, you can't allow this to happen in 2018.
Somebody needs to step in.
It's 2018, man. Like, in 2018, I could watch All In on my stream from my phone in my hotel on a plane with bad internet, which I've done badly enough. If you want to watch something badly enough, you will pay $15
yes.
on a flight to get really choppy internet to watch a wrestling match you want to see.
And I have done it before. It is not
right.
choppy. It is basically watching. Listening to a radio broadcast with various different screen grabs popping
up. It's that
up.
Old ViewSonic camera where you click the side.
Yes, exactly.
Like the picture. But it's still good, right? You'll still pay for it.
When you need to, you need to.
I'm not all in. I tried. I was at the website. I fell asleep. I woke up. It had been 35 minutes. Then I said, man, it's been like a half hour, a little bit afterwards. Maybe I can get Sky tickets. Nope. Sold out. And as sad as I was, my first thought was, you know what? That's good for the Bucks. It's good for Cody. I'll just watch the live stream.
Yeah.
Pause. Insert tweet. Maybe I won't watch the live stream. Then what happens? Then you spin it, I guess, as a bit of a marketing team thing to say, you know what, guys? That just means that you should have been there. And that's, I hate to say it, that's kind of lazy to say that you should have been there. It's exciting for the ones who are there, but you got to at least have someone there to take highlights. Maybe put out a DVD and like a WXW kind of does. If you don't have a lot of live stream stuff, you put out a best... what was it called? In your area, the Cali Western show that they have out there.
Oh, APW or PWG.
Yeah, they have a lot of their shows they put out on Blu-ray and DVD that they can't stream.
Yeah.
And I would take that as an option, but no production team? I don't know, man. Worrisome.
Well, there is this. If you don't live stream it, it can't go wrong. And if you look at, for them, what can go wrong now? They've already blown out their expectations in terms of selling something out to the point where now, no matter if they do this again, no matter what they do, if they don't sell out faster than 30 minutes, now they have expectations. They have the wrestling, which I think, based on the people that they've booked, it would be a real big upset if it was not a really good wrestling show.
Yes.
But the one thing that can go wrong... very easily is trying to, because this is not a, you know, there are far, few and far between are there the kinds of, let me just hire a bunch of people, crews that can effectively shoot to pay-per-view standards, to WWE standards, to Ring of Honor standards, and live stream something like that. Like, that would take a fair amount of money. Now, the argument on the other side is, yeah, because you have something really awesome that you should be showing off.
Yes.
And unlike Ring of Honor and unlike New Japan, they could literally just do that as a value add for the, you know, if let's say their YouTube channel, they could stream it live on YouTube where Being the Elite gets the most views. They could stream it live on Twitch where they have a Being the Elite channel. And that is just a gigantic value add to continue this money machine that has obviously done well enough that they sold out a 10,000 seat arena.
And there are people who are homegrown in the scene of Twitch who are capable of doing these kind of things for a small, modest fee. I don't think you'll end up paying the kind of money you'll pay for a WWE kind of broadcast, even like an ESL broadcast. But think of like the fact that New Japan, Kenny Omega are doing a thing with CEO, the community effort Orlando from Jabali, the fighting game community tournament that takes place in June.
Yeah.
They're teaming up with that. And if that's going to be done by, let's say, Team Spooky, Spooky has a ton of experience with doing live stream. He has a ton of equipment. He's always on par with that kind of stuff. If the partnerships are there and available with people who are familiar with Twitch and the technology, you got to, I don't even want to call it a loss. You got to set aside part of that money and say, look, if we can't afford the largest cameras and the largest spectacles at the same time, we have to think about the future. If we could invest the money into this protection team that already exists on Twitch, and mind you, the individuals who are on Twitch who are familiar with doing this kind of stuff, they're going to be telling their team, their people, their web and network of individuals, you must watch this broadcast. It's going to be sick. More tendrils are out there. And when they do it successfully, guess what happens? You can do it again next year because people have watched it and they want to see it. And you can pay more for the price for the ticket if you want to because they want to be there live for it, as opposed to just word of mouth saying, man, it was so great. There was this. And plus, you have the GIFers on Twitter, right? You have the TDE Wrestling's and Mr. Lariatos. If you have to live stream, you're going to have those GIFs up on there on Twitter. And you're going to say, oh, my God, that was amazing. I can't believe I just saw that. I should have watched it. Or maybe I will watch it now by just logging in and subscribing to it.
Fake Gamer Girl, who is who knows what she knows, but you know, just one of these random internet people. She's the, I don't know the venue that they're using, but if they're using one that's unionized, they may have to use venue staff versus hiring it out. This happens with a lot of larger events. That is true, and that is very often a problem. Although another Cody tweet, we are taking all sorts of news here from Cody's Twitter. Mentioned that they are right now in a position where they are trying to find somebody that is not going to be looking for ownership of the broadcast, that they want a broadcast partner and not an owner. So I'm guessing that it is something that they can shop around. It's a matter of getting the level of production quality and the freedom that they demand in terms of being able to own everything.
You touched base with the Being the Elite channel, so they have a grasp on how multimedia works and how the importance of streaming is available to them. So,
I mean, yes, and I don't want to interrupt you, but this Being the Elite is something that they shoot on phones and edit on iMovie. So it is.
I'll take that.
It's great for what it is, but you know as well as I do that there is a gulf between that technical capability and let's do a live stream that is going to be, you know, viewed by likely tens of thousands of people and making sure that everything goes according to plan. Like that is
an IRL backpack in one angle and I will be happy. That's true. I'll be okay.
True.
You know, give me an iPhone, give someone a Samsung Galaxy. You stick it at the top of a corner of a pillar or a turnbuckle and have it angled at one section. I'll be okay. I'll peek around the corner and kind of see the entrance and I'll say, you know what? I'll pay $9.99 for that.
Oh man, I'm so excited about this event. But let me ask you this:
what's up?
Because here's something else I was thinking of. Is it weird? We have two of the biggest indie events that I can remember in my lifetime happening over this summer. One of them is All In Chicago, which I would say arguably is probably the most consequential. But also in July, New Japan is running the Cow Palace, which is also gigantic. The G1 Special. Are you coming out to that?
Maybe. Depends.
What's on? Those summer months. If you're doing hosting, those summer months are
they're rough, man.
Are packed, right?
They are packed, and I never know until the last second. I mean, I'm going to a SmackDown. There's that. So I want to. Will I be able to? Who knows?
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this: would you be closer to knowing if you knew? I don't know any of the matches on either show, because it's kind of weird that we don't know any of the matches on All In, and we don't know any of the matches on the New Japan show.
I mean, I look at it this way. It reminds me of the old school advertisement you used to see for old school wrestling, right? Where tune up to Bob's Barn Crab Shack, where you will see these wrestlers, and you don't know who's competing or who's just going to be doing a backstage interview.
Yeah.
And if I know the right people are there, I can see some parity between different matches happening. So if I just know who is going to be there, I'll be okay with just attending and having a good matchup at the same time.
Well, all right, so we know who's going to be there for All In. We do not know for sure anybody is going to be there for New Japan. You can surmise. I think people would be upset if Okada, Naito, Suzuki, the Bullet Club, if they were not there.
And just some young lions, right?
Yeah, and you were, and you would, if this is, all I'm saying is if this is headlined by Roppongi 3K, there will be some disappointed ticket buyers. Now, I don't think that that's the case, but I do think that New Japan has not sold out the Cow Palace, and if they had announced a match or two beforehand, maybe they would be closer to doing it. And maybe they'll still be closer once they do. But it is kind of odd that these two gigantic events have as of yet, no announced matches.
I wonder if it's a booking thing. Maybe they're still trying to figure out what they want to do with the title shift that's going to take place between the U.S. Championship and the actual IWGP Heavyweight Championship. And maybe they're afraid to say what names will be there and what titles they may held at the time.
Yeah, I New Japan, I would guess that they are obviously very stingy about their booking, that like they don't, WWE would be more likely to say, all right, well, hey, look, we really want to sell out this arena as fast as possible, so let's announce that Roman Reigns is fighting Brock Lesnar, even though both of them are in different feuds with other people, just right, so we can get the big names and people can buy the tickets for that. New Japan is a little bit different, and really the biggest what if with that show is right now, Chris Jericho is in a feud with Tetsuya Naito.
Right.
If that feud extends one more month, you know, based on whatever happens in this upcoming pay-per-view, that's a big draw. Watching Chris Jericho wrestle for New Japan in America is gigantic. And that was also the rumored main event for the Long Beach show before it became the Golden Lovers versus the Young Bucks.
And it makes you wonder that maybe, is it a contractual thing? I mean, is it Jericho talking to them right now and saying, look, man, I'll do your show, but it's got to be on this term. I got to have this for, we got to do this for, what's going to be happening at the same time? Maybe booking has no idea of what's actually going to be happening. They haven't announced anything.
They have to know. They have to know.
Maybe they don't. Maybe.
But isn't
maybe
that,
it's so much going on.
That's what we give WWE shit for, though, right?
Yeah. Maybe now it's their time. Maybe there's too much ROH in the building. Maybe there's too much All In. Maybe there's too much spreading of talent in different places that now maybe they're putting too much going on their plate. And now they're like, oh, that's right, the Cow Palace. I forgot all about that. Listen, so we can guarantee Shoyo and Rocky taking on some members of Los or Suzuki Goon again.
Yeah.
Probably Azuka biting the turnbuckle and attacking a fan or something. We'll give them that for now. And
that's
then
it.
We'll just see what happens. Naito, we don't know. And plus, I mean, the mounting injuries that I've seen, like, I feel like the more I watch New Japan, the more bandages I see on everybody wrestling. Like,
it's a lot of ice packs.
Mumby head to toe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you would assume that their English-speaking talent is going to be front and center, right? So,
right.
Ospreay, Skrull, Zack Sabre Jr., obviously all the being the elite guys.
Michael Elgin.
Yeah, Michael Elgin.
Juice, hopefully.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you would guess that they're going to have big matches on the card or be centered around, you know, that. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jay White, the knife pervert, of course. Reverend. Yeah. Black. Absolutely.
That's the big thing is that, like you mentioned, that is worrisome that the champions have not been announced. That was my original thing is Jay White, U.S. champion. Where's his name? Okada, IWGP champion. Where's his name? The six-man championships, even all that, the junior and the heavyweight tag team championship, why aren't their names all in the draw? Even if it's going to be a match, we know it won't change hands because whatever, it's America. But, like, are they going to be there?
Yeah.
Is there something going on?
Where are you at on this Jay White run as U.S. champion?
I like watching him be a sleazeball.
Yeah.
And the arrogance and how he has this thing where he widens his eyes after he wins a match. Like he rolls in the ring, looks up and widens his eyes and does the whole, you can't beat me. But I never really know who he's feuding with. Like after Dave Finley, like he's kind of talking to Elgin. He's kind of talking to Juice Robinson. But what makes me happy during a title run usually is the expectation that it's like the Ric Flair and Seth Rollins appeal, where I feel like anytime they're capable of losing a match, but for some reason they just don't.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that, right? Where there are some champions where you go, there's no way they're going to lose to this person. Where if you watch a Seth Rollins versus Kevin Owens, you go, what if he actually wins tonight? I don't think it'll happen, but he could. Whereas with Jay White, if I watch a Juice Robinson versus Jay White, in my heart, I'm going, man, I hope Juice wins. But my head says he's not going to. So I don't have the threat, the appeal of a Jay White champion saying every match could be the last. But I mean, I'm 50-50 on his matches. I'm kind of watching him. They're cool.
Yeah, I like him. And you know, I like this match with Tanahashi at Wrestle Kingdom. Like, I think that's just it was a rough spot to kind of deal with considering the matches that were around it. It feels kind of, and it's an unenviable position because Kenny is such a megastar for them right now, and you know they're gonna run this Golden Lovers angle that they have, that Kenny and Ibushi have apparently been politicking for forever, and they've been dying to make it happen, so now it's gonna happen. But you can also kind of see some of the reason why New Japan probably hesitated so long to put those guys together, because as cool as the reunion is and as cool as whatever this angle that they're going to run together, it kind of sucks to not have those guys be in their appropriate slots for singles competition, because they're both just studs. Like they should be constantly going back and forth with all the top talent in New Japan right now.
They're just really, 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 really good talents, like you said. And I mean, it's one of those things where I feel like you have people who are watching wrestling for the wrestling, whether it's in stream or in the audience. And then you have the general reaction that takes place at the live events with the audience. When you have Kenny Omega walk out with Kota Ibushi, the crowd goes nuts for the idea of these two being together because of what the entire reunion means, what the relationship means, and that emotion and passion, it's delved out into the crowd. And so while there's a bit of emotional tardiness there with not seeing them take on, let's say, a Naito one-on-one or an Evil, at the same time, there's the feeling of, isn't it more important now for the crowd to enjoy themselves? And they have all this great wrestling around them, I should say, with an Okada, a Tanahashi, and so on and so forth. But where's the emotional investment into a wrestler that we have otherwise? Like, who else besides the Naito chanting because of what Naito's gone through, what emotional investment do you have in any other wrestler in New Japan Pro Wrestling? Who else do you watch and go, oh my God, my heart bleeds for them because of what's happening? I don't know if it exists out of those two. So I want Omega and I want Ibushi to have their singles runs again. And with, you know, Okada announcing to Omega, I want you.
Yeah.
We'll have that perhaps. But I feel like there has to be a balance of, here's this little emotional cupboard and you guys can just watch the rest of the wrestling with these people.
I think even that match, which I'm pumped to see, because literally those two could share a meal together and I'd be interested in watching it. But that also just feels like, but you kind of know that that's just the thing they're doing to get to somewhere else, because maybe they'll put the title on Kenny. I highly doubt it, considering it feels like where they're going now is Kenny versus Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom. That this partnership is not built to last, and right. you're building to another, what will almost certainly be the first 9-star match by the Lord our God Dave Meltzer.
And I would vote in 9 stars too. It'd be a hell of a match. It'd be the first ever 2-hour Iron Man match.
Exactly.
And I'd watch all 2 hours of it. But maybe the title is a means to an end, right? It's the integral portion of that eventual breakup that takes place. Omega wins the title. He becomes tag team partners still. He wrestles individual matches, and it becomes this thing of like, what happened to us? What happened to our tag team championship? You hold that singles title. What about us? It's no big deal. I can still be champion. We can still be friends. Yada, yada, yada. The investment happens. Turn the back on it. I don't know. Maybe.
Maybe. I mean, look, there's a lot that can happen. And the more that happens before that San Francisco show, the happier I'll be, because we're definitely going to that. And we got to keep lobbying you. Me and Ash will just keep peppering you to see if you can come out, because
tickets go on sale yet?
Tickets are on sale, baby.
How much?
I'll tell you what. There's some reasonable stuff there, because it's a weird arena layout. There's not like, because it's old, there's not like a gigantic upper level. So it's sure. it's fairly flat. But that means that there's...
I prefer older arenas. I want to sit down in a chair, put my feet down. If my feet don't stick to the floor, then I don't want to be there.
No, this one also, it's just a lot of wood too. So it's like, it gets loud because it's not all like new build concrete.
Oh, that's
concrete.
The best, man. The acoustics, you start stomping your feet in the big moments, the best.
Yeah, so let me see here. If we're just going to go to StubHub.
Oh, Bova. That's what it was. I was trying to remember the tournament last year that I couldn't watch on stream, but they had a DVD for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, PWG, that's their thing. Their thing right. is...
But that was the thing. You couldn't watch it live, but you could buy the DVD. You could buy the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
I don't know. They need to do live. That's... Tell you what, man. You can get... So... In the section that we're in, we paid about $130 per ticket. On StubHub now, only going for $200. So there is a markup, but it's not crazy.
$200 to see Roppongi 3K.
For right now. This is what I'm saying, though. This is what I'm saying. Now, look.
That's what you want me to do. All right, man.
At the end of the day, they could always just do my favorite New Japan thing. If it was just... Suzuki punching young boys, like, just that's my favorite, just unmitigated stiff violence, fighting by Suzuki against a young boy is just. I have a buddy of mine that all like whenever we see it, either on the internet or live, it's just immediately take a picture and text. You know, just there was one that just killed me. It was a young boy trying to hand Suzuki a ice pack after a loss. And so he just grabs the ice pack, opens it, starts throwing the ice cubes into the ring. And then just like, you never realize how good professional wrestling is until you actually see a professional wrestler throw a real punch. And it was just right in the, just like locks the elbow, just bah, right in the face. But also he's a young boy. What are you going to do?
If only he wasn't a strong man, too.
Exactly. So
he's consistent, though. He does it pre-match, mid-match, and post-match.
He
it's
just
a thing.
Beats the living shit out of him.
My favorite is like post-match when it's like watching a video game, like watching No Mercy, where he'll take a young lion and he walks a good mile. He isn't like he'll punch right there.
Yeah.
But he sees like a specific guardrail that he wants to hit them with.
Yeah.
But the guardrail's way near the entrance. So he grabs him and just walks.
He does not care. He'll do the whole walk.
And then he arrives there like, it's time. Bop, 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 bop. I can't imagine him being dragged by the hair for a good mile saying, oh, God, here comes, here comes, here comes, here comes, here comes.
That is a hell of a day at work. All right. Okay, Adrian. We have a game that I've only played once on the stream, and I'm going to tell you that the only reason why I'm playing it with you now is because my regular co-host and brother, Willie Dills, has banned me from playing the game when he is on the show. So I don't get the chance to do it.
All right.
How familiar would you say you are with the locations that wrestlers are billed from?
Whew. Not very, but I'll play.
All right. This is a game we call Hailing From. And I will say that some of these are new. Some of these are old. They are all from the WWE. But I will give you a easy one here. Shinsuke Nakamura. Where is Shinsuke Nakamura billed from?
From Kyoto, Japan.
Boom. See? You want to know what? You were worried about it. You're already off to a great start. 1-0. 1-0.
All right. Fantastic.
All right. How about this one? Here's another new one. Dean Ambrose. Where is
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Boom. See? I don't know why. Dills is on this show. And I'm trying to do this thing, and he's getting on. Yeah, the Buck is already remembering. I joked that Charlotte Flair was from Terre Haute, Indiana, because he couldn't remember where she was billed from. So here we go. All right,
the Queen City,
Charlotte. Right, it's a double entendre. That's how you know. Here we go. The Macho Man Randy Savage,
Sarasota, Florida.
Boom. 3-0. Now I'm gonna let you know this next one is.
You did say easy starting off. That's why I'm still on pins and needles.
No. Here's it's a little bit tougher.
Okay.
The $1 million man Ted DiBiase. I will say that this one surprised me. This one was not something that I immediately knew, and I was surprised when I read it.
$1 million man Ted DiBiase. Gimmick wise, tell me he wants to be somewhere rich, but if it surprised you, he's probably not from somewhere rich.
Yeah, because you would think, I will tell you that these are not where he is not billed from, New York or Beverly Hills or.
I'm going to say Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky. Good guess. Incorrect. Omaha, Nebraska.
$1 million. No one is $1 million man. He's from Nebraska.
I know, right?
He has money. He has all the money.
Exactly. And like,
did they actually say that coming to the ring? I don't remember that.
Apparently,
from
so.
Omaha, Nebraska, the million. No, no one says that. No, doesn't even count.
That's what the Wikipedia says. The Wikipedia says Omaha, Nebraska.
That was probably pre-$1 million man. That was like Ted DiBiase back in like probably AWA days.
AWA, like, yeah. He was just regular. Yeah.
Regular guy, Ted DiBiase.
Although when you look at him now, it's like, yeah, you want to know what? His character was kind of the richest asshole in Omaha, right? Like he just had no class.
Like his neighbors knew us. That's just Ted.
It's like, oh, fucking Ted. Again.
Again, man.
Slapping the ball out of a young boy's hands while you bet him to
dribble
14 times.
Oh, snowy day in Nebraska.
Big Van Vader. Where was Big Van Vader hailing from?
A Florida boy?
What was that?
Isn't he a Florida boy?
No.
From Florida?
No.
Wait, no. Rocky Mountains, Colorado.
Oh, my God. You all are right. A savant in this game. No, it was literally just the Rocky Mountains. It was not Colorado. It was just the Rocky Mountains.
The reason I remember it is because I remember when I first heard that, I thought about his build, and I'm like, you know what? He looks like a Rocky Mountains. So that kind of makes sense.
Well, and
I doubt he has a place there.
Yeah, well, no, he also played football, I think, at Colorado State. Like, he is like a Colorado guy. So, boom, the Rocky Mountains. All right. Here we go. Now, we will accept two answers, because according to their is Wikipedia, he had two hailing froms.
Okay.
The man they call Sting.
He's a Florida boy. No, he's from Long Beach, California, I think.
But where did he hail from?
Was it Venice Beach and Long Beach, like Hogan? I want to say, I think he's a California boy and a Florida boy. I think he's just a sunny boy. I don't know. Well, because there's Surfer Sting and there's Crow Sting. And I don't think Crow Sting had a from.
I will say one of them.
It's a beach.
If I were to guess of these two, one of them is very much where a bleach blonde Sting, like where you would imagine where he started, they would give him a name.
Hollywood, California, probably Long Beach. I'm going to say Long Beach.
Long Beach, California. And one of them is very, very Crow Sting.
So that is one of them.
There's two.
Okay, you want me to name both?
No. You can just name one. I'll just give you the credit for either of them.
I'm going to say Long Beach.
Long Beach, California is incorrect. Charlotte, North Carolina is where he was billed from, which as an NWA babyface, it makes sense that you
Wait, is he from Tampa?
I think he is from California. I think he is from SoCal.
He's from SoCal, okay.
He also was billed from Every Man's Nightmare, which I think might have been a TNA one.
You gotta imagine that's a good idea when you first come out. From Every Man's Nightmare, and you do the whole, like, boo.
Yeah, right?
The hand gathering and everything. Yeah, that's whack.
Speaking of whack, our last one, and if you get this, that means that you will have gotten 1, 2, 3, 4. You are 4-2 now.
Okay.
You have secured a winning record.
Okay.
You can go 5-2.
Okay.
If you can tell me where the Boogeyman hailed from. The Boogeyman. He's the Boogeyman, and he's coming to get you. Before
from under the bed?
So just picture it. He's breaking the clock. He's eating the worms.
Don't tell me he's from Parts Unknown. That's too cheesy. They wouldn't bring back Parts Unknown.
I will tell you that none of these are from Parts Unknown. Oh, my God. And by the way, apparently, as Reverend Puck points out, Steve Borden, a.k.a. Sting, born in Omaha, Nebraska. All the pieces fit.
My first guess I would have made. Surprise.
I think he's in Dallas now, if I'm not mistaken, Sting. But all right, the Boogeyman. You have both good guesses. Both good guesses. Under the bed, great guess. Parts
I would
unknown.
Think under the bed, your worst nightmare or from your deepest darkest. He's just so gimmicky, and he had like a few matches. I feel like it's short. From your worst nightmare or from the closet, from under the bed. From
the
IKEA.
Boogeyman, the Boogeyman from inside the closet would probably have that would fall under some problematic territory, much like
from
that Crate one
barrel.
That one APA shirt that they had to pull immediately.
Jesus Christ, I didn't buy it. It's not right, but I'll say under the bed.
Under the bed, close but no cigar. It is the bottomless pit. From the bottomless pit, he is the Boogeyman.
How are you proud of yourself? Look at you. Look at that smile. How can you be happy about this? What part of you, as a wrestling fan, even reads this and has a remote amount of happiness? You should be ashamed of yourself. The bottomless pit. Think about all the individuals who rose up in the bottomless pit and come from there and don't brag about it.
I'm just saying. I love, there's just something about those hailing froms that to me are just almost part of the theme songs. So, like, I'll just remember the theme songs and I'll, for whatever reason, will just trigger the, like, you know, like, from Sarasota, Florida.
Yeah. How I'm the same way, dude. Like, my favorite wrestler of all time is Jake the Snake Roberts. And then that, the whole little theme song, it starts to build up. And I hear the, from Stone Mountain, Georgia. And the thing is, the way he walked this cadence, there was a bounce with each word. From Stone Bounce, Mountain Bounce, Georgia bounce. Holding a snake bag. I will never forget that. So I'm with you on that. But Boogeyman.
No, that was, look, sucks. To be honest, that was only because you had done so well.
I'm taking 4-2. I'm not even counting that. I'll take it. Yes, I did it.
Nailed it. Hey, listen, you still had a positive record. Okay, one last thing that we like to do at the end of every show. This is the most popular part of the show. One of our amazing crew, Trey Warren, the maestro, he is a fantastic musician. However, he also sometimes likes to dabble as a shitty musician. He likes to get drunk and play covers of theme songs in the one true instrument, the melodica. So this is the terrible melodica covers that we do at the end. So, folks, you can go ahead and send your guesses on what this is to at Justin R. Young on Twitter. I will tell you if you are correct or incorrect. But, okay, Drian, you get the first crack. Here is this week's shitty melodica cover. We play one more time the melodica cover for the week. Any guesses?
No. No. I don't even. I just want to say FBI because I don't even know what it is.
You want to know what? I'm trying to find his legend here because we might actually just have to give this one, away right now.
Are they all WWE themes?
Usually nine times out of 10. He's also a big fan of Wrestle Circus, which streams live here on Twitch. So every once in a while, he'll do a Wrestle Circus theme. The man himself is watching here. This is, yeah, we're going to give this one away because, okay, Adrian's a guest. Think over top of this back and forth. That somebody has just leapt from a trampoline and are now pointing up into the air, screaming, "Lucha, Lucha!"
It's Kalista, then. Or Sin Cara, I guess, in that case. I hear it now. That's the sad thing. The sad thing is, like, in my head, I hear Lucha and the doom, doom. But like, Trey, man, you got to go to a live event and just bring that with you. And just during the themes, just play your own rendition as they're coming out.
He is a national treasure. These melodica challenges are just
Juilliard graduate.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, that brings us to the end of the show. Okay, Drian, hopefully this was not scarring to the point where you never want to come on again because I had a great time.
I'm just probably going to find a YouTube loop of the rest of those songs and be there for the rest of the night. That's my plan. And to find out if All In is going to get some production coverage because my dudes, my ladies, please, what's up? We love you. Do it. Please help us help you.
I mean, you're right. Like this, I guess you want to know what? I had never even thought that they should reach out to the esports community because like looking at that, you know, world of production, like that's kind of really what they need. And they're probably not, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea what their process is of trying to find production partners, but I would guess that they're probably coming from the world of either concert streaming or wrestling streaming, both of which aren't exactly cost, you know, budget conscious fields where esports, where it's like, if you're not at the absolute top, there's a lot of mid-range events that you could probably scale up for what they want to do, I think would be pretty sweet.
You can still maintain parsimony by partnering with individuals in Twitch. They'll make it happen.
All right. Okay. Twitch.tv/OKDrian. That is OKAYDRIAN. Which cons are you going to be at coming up?
I will be at E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo. My second year in a row. Kind of mum's the word right now. Can't give away too much NDA, but I'll be there doing some hosting, interviewing stuff. So keep in mind, if you're watching a certain channel, keep in mind, you'll probably see me on there hosting stuff and doing that. And I probably might be at 1UpX, which is a local event taking place in Toledo, Ohio, and doing some stuff for that. And I'm trying to make it out, actually, to CEO. The fighting game convention takes place there. And if anything, for the New Japan presence, definitely. But
Yeah, right.
There,
so
sure.
It's Kenny, Ibushi, and Naito that's going to be there?
Yep.
That's wild. That's insane.
It is wild. And Kenny's a big fan of all things, you know, fighting games, especially Street Fighter V.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a Cody main like myself, and Cody's supposed to be released sometime. He's the next character released in Street Fighter V, and usually the next big Capcom event, they'll show off a trailer for the next big fighter, which should be him. So it would make sense to have the biggest fan of Cody and then show off the next character at the same event. So it'll be great.
Boom.
That's me.
I'll tell you, is there any final words that you would like to get out here on the 1-900 Wrestling program?
Keep in mind, like Progress says, wrestling is for everyone. So if you have friends who are wondering if wrestling is still their thing or can't be their thing, reach out to them and just say, look, I'll pay for food. I'll buy some wings. Just sit down and watch an hour with me. Watch an hour of the latest pay-per-view from whoever wrestling it is. Give them different perspectives. And let's help wrestling grow together, not only in local communities, but the online community as well.
150%. And you want to know what? I said that was going to be it. But because you mentioned Progress, any hot take on Tony Storm going to the WWE, a mainstay in Progress, dropping the belt over the weekend?
I don't know. Like, it's been a long time coming for Jenny because she's worked so hard. So it's good to have the title around her, and she certainly has the place for it.
And she had some visa issues, right? Is that why she was gone from the company for a while?
There was the visa issues, and then the injury, of course, that took place, which they brought into a storyline thing as well. But I mean, Tony was in the tournament last year, right? The Mae Young Classic got positive reactions from there. She's known throughout the world, so I think if they want to keep growing the women's roster, and especially the NXT roster, to bring up other young ladies and young women, they're going to need someone like Toni Storm there to keep raising the bar. So when they have next year's Women's Royal Rumble, it's not former past stars year after year after year. That slowly has to diminish where it's maybe an appearance by three people, four people, and the rest are rising or current talent. So it makes sense.
All right, folks. If you want to get in touch with me, you can go ahead and hit me up at Justin R. Young on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, everywhere that you could possibly find me, and right here on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Justin R. Young is where you can watch us broadcast this very show at 3 p.m. on the Pacific time zone and 6 on the East Coast. But, friends, until next time.
I want you to call me World of Wrestling.
This has been 1-900 Wrestling. We will see you guys later. Until then.
Remember the number 1-900 Wrestling.
Be dialing.
Stupid idiots.
They call me Hara.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking. And his name is John.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.